brought to you by the new Bose A20 Aviation Headset. Bose is now introducing their most advanced pilot headset ever, the new Bose A20 Aviation Headset. It provides significantly greater noise reduction than currently available, along with improved comfort, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.
Hello, you're listening to Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. We're doing something a little different today. Today we're speaking with Lee Tong. Lee Tong has twice been convicted in foreign courts of the offense of hijacking an aircraft. But to many of his Vietnamese countrymen, he's also a hero pilot whose adventures in aviation are the stuff of living legend. Lee Tong is a self-styled freedom fighter who through decades has used aviation to champion his cause. His exploits have won him fame, not insignificant jail time, and a great deal of controversy. He's been described as a war hero, a reckless eccentric, even a con artist. Add to that these words, excerpted from a letter addressed to Lee Tong and dated December 12, 1984. And I quote, "Your courage is an example and inspiration to all who would know the price of freedom. God bless you." The letter is signed, sincerely, Ronald Reagan. Lee Tong, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, sir.
Let's start with your introduction to aviation. You were born in Vietnam, but am I correct that you received pilot training in the USA in 1966?
Oh, yes and no. I was sent to the USA to be trained as a pilot, but I was dismissed due to a disagreement with an official. 3 years later, I was allowed to apply for the Air Force, but not in the USA. So I trained in Vietnam to become a reconnaissance pilot.
Why did you become a pilot?
In a country like Vietnam with 1,000 years of war history, every man must be a soldier one way or another. As a pilot, I could obtain my dream of adventure to live a life full of passion and life and death experiences.
Now, by 1973, you were flying a Cessna A-37 Dragonfly attack aircraft with the South Vietnamese Air Force's Black Eagle Squadron, and that was in combat during the Vietnam War.
Yes, in 1973, I was transferred and trained to be a bomber pilot, flying an A-37 jet bomber, nicknamed Dragon Flyer. I volunteered to fly many very dangerous missions, maybe what you call suicide mission. On some trip, I flew so low while attacking the enemy that my plane was hit by shrapnel from my own bombs and rockets. But thanks to my guardian angel, and bullets and missiles avoided me. Even when I returned to base in an aircraft leader with bullet holes. Then on April 5, 1975, my luck changed. The mission was to destroy a bridge to stop the advance of the communists to Phang Rang, my air base. At the time of my attack, my people were swarming over the bridge trying to escape the fighting. I attempted to warn them to get them off the bridge, which was my target, by making three RAS mode, that means flying under the tree tops and over the grass top. When I just climbed up to 500 feet, I was shot down by a heat-seeking missile. The aircraft shattered into pieces, and I was saved by an automatic ejection seat. The parachute opened, and I swung just a couple of times before I hit the ground on my left side. But I did not carry an emergency vest with flares, smoke, or other communication means. Actually, I wasn't even wearing underwear, so I could not get rid of my flight suit to disguise myself as a common peasant.
Of the roughly 6 years you spent as a consequence of this as a prisoner in Viet Cong re-education camps, what moments give you the most vivid memory?
During 6 years in communist prison, I made two escapes. In the first one, I was arrested when passing a checkpoint over the mountain pass. I intended to attack the driver so the truck could fall down to the ocean. I could die with four communist guards, but my plan failed. When they brought me before the court, I refused to kneel down and declare, "Go ahead and shoot. If Li Tong die, there will be 100,000 other Li Tong to follow. This legend haunted my enemy. God, I came for you to knock me down and jeer. Not on your knee here, on your face. How do you feel now? Honorable, I speak back. This man treat me like an animal, but who is the animal, who the man?
Does anything from that time serve today as an inspiration for you?
When you already live at the bottom of the hell and went through on these horrible experiences, you won't be afraid in any circumstances, even the most dangerous moment. So I dare to do anything I could imagine to contribute my small part in the liberation of my country and people.
Ultimately, how did you escape?
After 10 days of laboriously working a nail to loosen the bar on a toilet hut window, I crawled out and inched my way across the prison yard with small pilfer scissors. I broke back wide fence and walked all night through the jungle. Finally, I arrived at Trihua, the nearest big city. With money from my friends, I hailed the bus headed to Nha Trang and was helped by a conductor to avoid police and then caught a train to go back to Saigon.
Now, legend has it that after the escape, you made your way 2,500 kilometers overland through Vietnam and Cambodia to Thailand and finally to Singapore.
Yeah, twice I tried to steal an airplane to make my escape, but soldiers had cannibalized the plane parts to sell. The aircraft couldn't fly. I had no money to go by boat. Therefore, I must escape overland. I walked, hitchhiked, bicycle. I went by train and bus through three countries. Sometimes I crawled through the jungle to avoid border patrols. My odyssey stretched over 17 months and took me some 1,500 city miles without documents. Sometimes I worked as a fisherman and even went sightseeing as a tourist. It ended when I swam at night across the Strait of Johor, separating Malaysia and Singapore. Then I caught a taxi to the U.S. Embassy. I arrived slightly damp, but in style.
You came to the U.S. in 1983. You wrote about your experience and sought education. Then in 1992, you went back to Thailand. What was your intent then?
When Eastern Europe and Soviet Union collapsed, I saw that the time was right. I went back to Thailand. I snuck in onto the Ubon Air Base to steal a Dragon Flyer. My plan was to drop bomb at the oil refinery in Saigon. But the aircraft had a weak battery, and I could not start the engine. So I went back to Bangkok for the second plan, hijack an Airbus.
Tell me about the hijacking.
I planned very carefully before on my missions. I bought a small parachute and carry a bag containing 50,000 leaflets. I asked a flight attendant for a cup of tea, and when she bent to serve me, I make a move. I slip a noose around her neck. Assuming it was a sick joke, she told me to quit teasing. So I took my dinner knife and bluffed her that I had a bomb. I told her to open the cockpit door. Then I told the pilot I had a time bomb, and I had only half an hour to finish my mission and bail out the plane. Please help me. Help my country and my people. I said, I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to sacrifice my life too.
What happened next?
I stood behind them and showed the pilot which direction to fly and told the co-pilot how to drop leaflets. The message was to con people to rise up to the top of the communist dictatorship. I, as a commander-in-chief of the World Uprising Forces, appeal to communist soldiers and police to support the people's uprising and protect us.
This was an Airbus A310-200. Tell me about your escape from the aircraft.
Well, the engineer could not open the entrance door due to a strong wind. The pilot told me to slip through a small cockpit window. I sat on a co-pilot seat and put my head near it to find a way to get out and suddenly I was sucked out of it. When I pulled the D-handle, the parachute cord became tangled with my feet. When I almost reached the ground, I called to God, and suddenly my feet were free. I fell in the center of a small pond, and the thick mud saved me. The water surface was at my mouth, so I had to raise my head upward to breathe during 15 minutes, trying to pull my legs out. At that time, I recognized that God had saved me.
And yet you were again captured and incarcerated in Vietnam for how many years? How were you treated, and under what conditions were you released?
Oh, I got 20-year sentence, but was incarcerated only for 6 years before being released with other freedom fighters. Due to Communist Vietnam efforts to have a normalization and most favored nation status with the USA.
So you were sent back to the USA, but by the year 2000, you were at it again. Tell me this time about your flight to Havana.
I flew to Havana on the occasion of the 41st birthday of the Cuban Revolution and the first day of millennium, January 1st, 2000. I dropped 50,000 leaflets in Spanish and English to appeal to Cubans to overthrow the old dinosaur Fidel Castro. I planned to take off at 6:30 a.m. before the control tower opened at 7, but I couldn't catch a taxi. So at 7:15 a.m., I took off from Key West, and at 300 yards, I dove the Cessna down to the sea to avoid radar. I flew to Havana 10 meters above the sea surface. I circled 5 times to finish most of my leaflet, then flew back Miami. When I turned base, the plane suddenly stalled due to a strong turbulence. I almost crashed and saw that the turbulence was caused by a Black Hawk helicopter that swooped down before me. The pilot signaled me to follow. When I turned to taxiway, 25 riot police suddenly stood up from the ground and yelled, "Hand up!" I realized later that when I dove to the ocean, the control tower thought that I'd crash. But when he found out that I was flying along the surface, he thought I was a drug smuggler and reported me to the Navy base at Key West. One Black Hawk, one F-16, and one AWACS followed me. When I dropped my leaflet, Cuban MiGs almost shot me down, but U.S. pilots stopped them. I was blind and deaf, knowing nothing of that exchange. I think that if I had taken off on time at 6:30, the tower would not have known. Therefore, no U.S. aircraft could have escorted me, and I would have been killed by the Cuban MiGs. That's why I believe in my destiny and my guardian angel.
What was the response from the U.S. legal system when you returned home?
At the time, the U.S. Attorney General was on vacation, and nobody could get in touch with her. So I had to stay almost 5 hours on the taxiway until President Bill Clinton gave the order to release me. I volunteered to surrender my pilot license.
But later that same year, you left again for Thailand. What was the plan this time?
Oh, I planned to go to Laos and fly from there to Hanoi to destroy Ho Chi Minh tombs. But I wasn't able to make arrangements, and that plan failed. In November 2000, I went to Cambodia to rent an airplane, but again my plan failed. I returned to Thailand, and on 16 November, I was finally able to hire a plane. I flew 3 hours with an instructor who promised to let me fly solo the next day. But weather forced me to change my plan. At 12 p.m., the rain stopped, and the visibility was better. I persuaded them to let me fly around the airport with an instructor. After taking off, I offered the Thai instructor $15,000 in cash and $5,000 in gift, and he agreed to cooperate with me. We flew to Vietnam and dropped leaflets. The communists thought we were a government plane dropping leaflets to welcome President Clinton, who were visiting the next days. It was luck again that we were able to fly back to Thailand without being shot down.
In Thailand, you found yourself in prison.
When we landed in Thailand, I was charged with hijacking. The police confiscated the money from the Thai instructor's pocket and had him tell lies. After 6 years, Thai court accepted Vietnam request for my extradition. But my guardian angel helped me again, and I was released to the United States thanks to a coup d'etat by Thai military.
Now, I've seen you described many ways, sometimes as a quixotic man whose methods are more symbolic than practical, but how do you see yourself?
People espouse my theory and dissertation. My method first was to encourage people to confront the dictatorship. Before my mission, there was no opposition forces in Vietnam. Now there are many democracy activists. I'm a catalyst. When the time is ripe, people will grasp the opportunity to rise up. Now people could expect the self-immolation of a student could cause the downfall of Tunisian and Egyptian governments. Libya and other countries in North Africa and Middle East are now in revolution and revolt.
Today, when you balance the time that you've spent in prison against the benefit of your actions, how do you measure that equation?
Our dictatorship will be gotten rid of step by step when people have no fear like me. And freedom fighters' efforts won't be in vain. There is a saying that one swallow does not make a summer, but it foretells summer. Freedom is not free, and the flower of freedom must be watered with our blood.
What are your plans for the future?
Thailand is my base to stage on missions on of my offenses. But Thai law prohibits me to go back within 100 years. This is the world revolutionary time. But I cannot make any move because if I went to any of the countries such as Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Laos, China, I will be apprehended. Only one way is to compose poem boiling with revolution and revolt. I'm ready for every opportunity to take part in it. Just wait and see.
We've been speaking with Lee Tong, convicted hijacker, freedom fighter. You decide. This has been Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. Thanks for listening.
Brought to you by the new Bose A20 aviation headset, Bose is now introducing their most advanced pilot headset ever, the new Bose A20 aviation headset. It provides significantly greater noise reduction than currently available, along with improved comfort, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.